Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, what a difference a week makes on the Better Up podcast. Willie P., Joe Patrick, and Caleb Johnson here with you. It's game week. Although it does feel a little weird, I'm not going to lie to you, because we've been ramping up to this point, and I almost feel like, guys, as we bring you guys in, I'm almost kind of nervous because of what's here and what's not here. Hello, Joe Patrick.
Hello, Willie P.
Hello, Caleb Johnson.
What's going on?
All right, so we got some good news on Friday, and we got some not-so-good news. Freddie's back. Tukey's back. Yasiel Puig's not. How will you remember the Yasiel Puig era, Joe Patrick?
What a wild day that was. I was actually doing updates. I was working Mike Conti's shift from 12 to 6 at the radio station, so it was a wild day. Like, my updates all day were almost purely Braves news. It was just a rundown of Braves stuff going on that day. I had to run into the producer's room to tell Craig that Yasiel Puig had announced that he had tested positive, which was just like, my first thought when I saw it was just like, why can't we have nice things? Why can't we have nice things? Like, Yasiel Puig was like above and beyond what I think anybody expected, you know, the Braves to do in terms of making a splash coming into the season. In fact, you know, the Braves have kind of been notorious for the ones who don't spend that kind of thing. And especially coming into a season like this where we went through this whole labor negotiation that had obviously all to do with money and things like that. Then to have them, it was so optimistic, or it was just made you feel so good that they were going to go out and spend some money to try to bolster the roster after Nick Markakis opted out. And then for that to happen was disappointing, but I'm not giving up hope yet.
Yeah, Caleb, it was rough news that we got on Friday afternoon, but I know that when I found out Freddie was back and that Freddie was not only hitting Friday but also played in the simulated games, scrimmages on Saturday and Sunday, I mean, I know that his timing probably isn't where it needs to be right now, but if anything, he's probably okay to at least start out as a DH, I would think, no?
Yeah, I think so. First off, going back to, for people who listened to our last podcast, we actually didn't get into Puig because it didn't happen until like an hour or two after we recorded. That was one of those things. I was talking to my wife and I was like, of course that news breaks literally an hour or so after we get off this podcast.
Literally had just posted the podcast and it had broken. I'm like, really?
Yeah, so it was one of those like, okay, great. And it's so funny that we're, well, I say funny, it's just strange how we're a week later and it's like, well, Puig's still not on the roster.
That's why you never hustle right there. That's why you never hustle.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Because it was one of those like, do we go emergency pod on this or no? Because a week later, he's not there. Even though I am kind of like Joe, where I'm a bit confused on the Puig news, where everyone, once he tested positive, you know, everyone was saying, well, the Braves said if he tested positive, then that was one of the ways that the deal was going to be voided. However, when he tests negative in a week or two, the Braves are going to sign him, I have to assume, just because, like, that need doesn't go away. It's just you know, they kicked the can a little bit further down the road because he tested positive right now, and that was contingent upon him, you know, passing his physical or whatever. Getting back to Freddie said something in his first press conference back that has been replaying a lot on our station, as far as since we're running CBS Sports Network on the weekends and such, that this whole idea of him having the 104.5 fever, you know, just asking God not to take him kind of stuff, just absolutely horrific to hear the how scary it got for Freddie in that point when, you know, when it was at, when the virus in him was at its worst. And then he's just like back on the field and, you know, that same smile is there and he's excited to play baseball again. And I'm one just slightly confused because, you know, I see his wife is posting on Instagram that they had this like deep cleaning done of their house, you know, getting rid of any, you know, germs or anything of that nature. And I'm like, wait, Nick Markakis literally opted out of the season because he talked to you on the phone and was like, oh, nah, I heard his voice and I'm
hell
out.
No.
Yeah, exactly. No. I'm not doing that. And you're the one talking about you're laying with a 104 fever, asking God not to take you, saying that if you had been able to get hold of the Braves team trainer, I'm blanking on his name right now. I think Scott. I can't remember his last name.
George.
But,
George.
Oh, George. Okay.
I forget the last name.
But if you could have gotten him on the phone, you would have been in the emergency room or whatever.
Right.
And then now we're back playing baseball and like everything's, you know, hunky dory, as they say. And I don't know. I mean, more power to the man. Like that is I salute you. You're an American hero, you know, like, you know, jokingly, obviously, but it's one of those, I can't believe he's back playing and everything's great.
Here's my problem with everything. And I won't say maybe problem is the wrong word, but the one thing that I have realized is that this is going to be a season that is born on fluidity. Like, day to day, your circumstances are going to change. We were even talking about it before we went on the air, guys. The pitching rotation, I think if you asked us a month ago, given a lot of assumptions and given a lot of, I think, casual hopes, you probably felt very optimistic about where this pitching rotation is right now. But as we sit here in game week, you have Mike Soroka, you have Max Fried. We believe that for this first series, it's going to be Sean Newcomb starting third. I'm wondering if that's a matchup situation with the Mets because they don't believe in the Mets' ability to hit left-handed pitching. Not necessarily sure why or if it's just where Newcomb is compared to the rest of the guys. And then fourth, you have Mike Foltynewicz possibly to start the Rays series. And then at five, it's like, do you go Kyle Wright? Tuki Toussaint's not stretched out. There's Josh Tomlin who's possibly in the mix. All I'm saying, and Bryce Wilson's looked like a gas can compared to basically, you know, everything that we said about him before.
My Twitter mentions
are
right.
It's all come true. So, I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm looking at this, and I'm like, guys, this is like, you're going to feel like you go through the emotional ringer with every game, every series. And I know that we said that going in, but I don't know if we actually knew what it looked like until we get to this week. Because I'm sitting here this week, and I'm looking at every game. I'm seeing a lot of teams, especially the ones that we're about to play, that don't look good. We have our own issues. And I just, it's like going to be like praying every night that nobody either tests positive or comes up with an injury. Because that's the other thing, too, is that it's not as if COVID is the only ailment that can keep you from playing. We got Johan Camargo, who's got a hamstring right now. And your depth all of a sudden in position players is somewhat suspect right now, especially after not getting Puig. You really don't know what you can expect from Freddie just yet. And like I said, the pitching rotation, not exactly what we thought it was going to be right now.
Yeah, from almost every player that we've talked to during this month or however long it's been of summer camp these last couple weeks, almost every player to a T had said that the defining characteristic of the teams that succeed during this crazy season that's about to unfold are going to be the teams that are able to adjust and are able to adapt to the circumstances that present themselves. Because you're right, there are going to be positive COVID cases that arise for some teams, if not every team is probably going to have at least a player or two that test positive at some point this season. You're going to have different kinds of injuries because you've got a different ramp up to the season. So you might have pitchers that you know, aren't ready, able to prepare themselves like they normally would in a typical spring training, muscle injuries like we're seeing with Johan Camargo. I think that those are types of things that we could continue to see pop up. So I think that you're totally right that, you know, the ability to adapt is going to be so key this season. And I also think that, you know, we've talked about it before, but squad depth is going to be just as important. And I think that we sometimes get bogged down when we talk about the Braves, or, if, you know, whenever people are talking about their baseball teams, talking about who's going to play what position, where they're going to bat in the order, these kinds of things. I like to kind of, at least at this point in the season, before we really get into the nitty gritty of like specific games and series you need to take, I think it's just more important to look at the squad from like a 30,000 foot view and just say, like, what are the pieces that we have on this roster? How are they going to be able to help us this season? Like, obviously, a lot of the talk has been about Austin Riley, Johan Camargo, which one's going to play third base, which one's, you know, is going to platoon the outfield, et cetera, et cetera. Brian Snicker does not seem to be looking at it that way. He seems to just be looking at it as, like, we got two third basemen, and they're both going to be good. You know, we'll use them when we need them, but surely these guys are both going to be productive, useful players for us that the Braves are going to need during the season, despite the fact of like which one ends up with more at bats or how they platoon them or whatever way you want to use them. If the Braves are going to have a successful season, both of those guys are going to play a role. It's impossible to tell right now what role exactly that will be, but they'll need them both to be productive, and we're seeing that all over the place. We're seeing it with guys coming in that are going to have to replace Cole Hamels, like you mentioned, who's been sidelined now, and you know, now you're going to have to see guys like Kyle Wright's going to step up, potentially get a spot in the starting rotation. Maybe it's a Josh Tomlin who's going to get a spot. All these guys are going to be needed in a season like this. And it's hard. It's almost impossible to predict exactly how they're going to be used. But that's why you just want to build as deep of a roster with major league ready talent as possible. I think the Braves are in a fortunate position this year in the fact that their minor league system was very top heavy, so they had a lot of prospects that were kind of borderline usable at the major league level. And I think a lot of those guys are going to get tested this year. We talked about Bryce Wilson. I mean, you know, he's certainly gotten his shot during this kind of this summer camp. Hasn't really taken it like we would have liked to see, but he had that, at least he had that opportunity, right? And I think that kind of thing is going to present itself with more and more of these players. And I think we're going to see some guys emerge that maybe we didn't think so. A guy like Tucker Davidson seems to be really taking that opportunity right now. He's been producing really well this summer. So who knows? Who knows what we're going to see? But I think the Braves do have the right mindset in terms of being able to adapt to what is presented this season. And they've got the depth in the roster, I think, to be able to compete along the, you know, with the best teams in the NL.
I have been very interested to see how Snicker has laid out, you know, whether it's the rotation or just little nuggets of information he's given the media. I don't know if you guys saw, but with him announcing that Luke Jackson's going to be the closer for the time being, I forget what the phrasing was, but it was essentially, yeah, Luke Jackson's going to be our closer, even though we paid a lot of money to bring in a guy who is a closer who was formerly a really talented one in Detroit. It's fine, Green. We're going to go with our guy, Luke Jackson. Also, one thing that, because there is so much information, I think, going on at this time, and you also don't want to read too much into how things are laying out to start the season, the fact that that it was Soroka to start, then Max Fried, then we're going Sean Newcomb before we get to Folty. Like, Folty was our number one going into the playoffs just last year. So how did we get from, he went from 1 to 4? Like, is that just showing the improvement that these guys have made, or how much, you know, I don't know. It's one of those, like, I almost go into, Folty wasn't exactly one of the most mentally stable guys last year, you know?
Right.
So is that being taken into account with, yes, so much fluidity? And I also am just slightly concerned because we, at least to my knowledge, like, no, we haven't spoken to him yet. And so I want to know where his head's at. You know, how are things going in a very problematic start to a very strange season when you know, he typically needs things to be in some sort of normalcy before he starts getting in his head. I don't know.
I almost wonder, too, guys, with the fact that you don't have pitchers stretched out as much, do you think there might be some, just with the fact that you have such a condensed season, do you think there might be some configuring that Brian Snicker does, whereas, you know, he might skip Soroka in a start to save him for a stronger opponent, or could it be something of that nature, whereas he knows that you have probably a chance to use Fulton Evich at the top of the Tampa rotation, you're going to have possibly a bullpen day in that second game, and then get Soroka. I mean, it's always, the goal is to win series, but the problem is that every series is so much greater now because you have less games, and so I'm wondering if we might see this kind of back and forth. Maybe guys don't do as much bullpen work on the side in days leading up to their upcoming starts, or they start less and things of that nature, especially in these first 2 weeks, because of the fact that you just have so many variables. You want to be able to get ahead. It's so important to not, you know, be behind the eight ball when it comes to where your record is. And I think, too, Alex Anthopoulos said this at the beginning of when we all kind of started here, is that teams have kind of set a mark out in the future of that August 31st trade deadline day. That's going to be the barometer that I think people realize, okay, that's going to be where that real stretch run is for that month of September, because once that month of September rolls around, that's when the games get really serious. I know you're laughing, Caleb.
No. I'm laughing because I just realized I got.
What happened?
So I saved a tweet. This would have been yesterday while I was out doing things, and I saw the tweet come across that Braves manager confirms he will use Luke Jackson as the closer until Will Smith returns. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna need that information when we record. Except for the fact that it was Dan Keats, like notorious prankster tweeter, who had changed his profile to Bill Shanks down in Middle Georgia, who works for the ESPN station down there. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to need to go look at that later. And I just ran with it just now, and I'm very disappointed, because I saw Joe looked at me like I was crazy. And I was like, yeah, I thought it was strange too. And then I looked and I was like, oh, the tweet's fake. Well, I got. I'm sorry.
We could go back and record this again if you'd like.
Oh no, it's fine.
Record your area if you would like to.
No,
no one will ever know.
We're gonna let Caleb sit with this.
Yeah,
we're gonna let.
I need to. I just ran with it. I got. It's
hey.
Fine.
Let me. I need to stand up for Luke Jackson here. He gets so much crap from Braves fandom, and listen, part of it is just that I really like him as a person. Like, I just think that he's a very unique character. He's a West Ham fan, which is bizarre. And whenever I hear someone is a West Ham fan, I'm always like, "Who hurt you when you were a child?" But I do respect it. At least I respect it.
Button for punishment.
He's also like the president of a gaming team, which is hilarious.
I do know that.
And
yes.
I remember after there was a game last year where he like had his gaming team come, like they were like set up in an auxiliary room right across the corridor from the Braves clubhouse, and he like went in there with his t-shirt on, his gaming t-shirt after the game, was like, you could see them all set up on their computers. I love that. I just love the personality that he shows, and I think that as a pitcher, obviously that's what more people are interested in, and how he performs for the Braves. I think that he got really hard done by last year. I feel like I don't have any solid stats on this, but I feel like I could count, it would take me two hands to count the amount of times where he just kind of got like dinked around to the point where he would give up some runs, like on very not very hard hit balls. I think a lot of people, the lasting memory that sticks out of Luke Jackson last year is the home run that he gave up after Chris Martin was pulled in the NLDS that led to the Braves loss in game one. Mm-hmm. And obviously that was bad. You know, that was bad, but that was a right. weird circumstance for him to come into the game. I just, like, when you look at his strikeout rate, 13 over 13 strikeouts per nine innings, like that is the kind of stuff you want to see. His FIP is 3.24. Very good. Like, I just think that he got hard done by last year. I think he's going to be a solid pitcher for the Braves this year again. You look at, like, there was an article in The Athletic last year, and I forget who wrote it, but they were talking about some of the best pitches in the game, and it was his slider. It's kind of like a slider. It's not really a curveball, but it's got a lot of vertical movement on it. And it was one of the most effective pitches, at least at the midpoint of the season last year. The problem that he has is he kind of has a flat fastball. And when guys can really guess on that fastball, they can kind of rope it from time to time, which is why he goes that slider so often. But I like him. I like Luke Jackson.
Who do you think, guys, is a surprise to make the roster that you would not have envisioned before our time going into summer camp?
Yonder Alonso. He was added to the 40-man roster this week. I don't know why they would add him to the 40-man roster unless they are going to carry him on the opening day roster. And I'm sure, you know, the reason why is because he's a first baseman and Freddie Freeman, there's all these question marks still surrounding Freddie. Even though he did come back, obviously the Alonso move was probably made before Freddie had tested negative for COVID. So he's definitely one I didn't expect. Even if Freddie wasn't there, I would not have thought they would sign Yonder Alonso, put him on the roster. I would think they would just use Austin Riley or some other player to kind of play first base until Freddie got back. But there you go.
I think any young prospect pitcher, as far as like relievers, probably didn't see that coming. Because I guess we don't know who yet. But, I mean, take your pick between Tucker Davidson, Chris Russen, Patrick Weigel. I'm trying to think who else. But any of those young guys who, I probably wouldn't have seen coming. But now we're at a point where it's like, we're going to need their arm at some point, and guys keep falling down or are getting hit with COVID. So, next man up.
Do you think Alonso might have been more of a reaction to the Puig stuff not happening? Because of the fact that
wasn't that move made before the Puig it was announced that he wasn't going to
It was around this it was before, but they probably knew about the Puig positive test before Puig said anything.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering too, cuz I mean I'm looking at the guys who wouldn't have made it amongst the guys of the position players. You know, like who would have been the odd man out? Would have been Charlie Culberson?
Yeah, I think it would have been Culberson who would have been the odd man out.
I know.
That's my thing is I really do sometimes I have to like divide that love of the actual individual person versus their play.
I don't do that with Luke Jackson, so feel free to.
Well, sure. But, well, you guys know, because I've defended him in the group chat, and both of you are just like, I don't know what to do with you. My affinity for Ender Inciarte, like, the guy is just incredible. And such, I don't know, just such a warm, nice guy. He makes some really flashy plays out in center field. And so I would buy stock in Ender Inciarte all day, every day, even though I know he's, you know, very likely to be traded at some point, probably this season, if not next. But when it comes to mind blank, who are we talking about?
Charlie.
There
Clutch.
We go. Charlie. He's just such a friendly guy. And when everyone was poo-pooing on Yasiel Puig last week, Charlie came to his defense.
He
and
did.
Was like, I played with him in L.A., and he's a good dude. And I was like, wow, you really – like you might not make the team because of this guy, and you're going out on a limb for him.
All right, so I'm going to give you four names. A.J. Minter, Jacob Webb, Patrick Weigel, and Bryce Wilson. Which of these guys is – I'm guessing three of these four guys are bodies. Which one of those guys – becomes an actual legitimate threat on this roster, and which three of those guys stay bodies between Weigel, Webb, Minter, and Bryce Wilson?
I like Webb personally.
Webb was sneaky good last year, really good.
Yeah, before the elbow issue.
Yep.
I will say I would have definitely leaned towards Webb. And if I remember correctly, it's been so long ago. I feel like I remember he was having a good spring before everything got shut down.
Yeah, it was fun. It's interesting that you asked this question, Will. I was actually just kind of chatting with some people last night on Twitter about AJ Minter. The conversation started because I had mentioned that I had never seen probably one of the most devastated I'd seen a player look last year was AJ Minter right before he got optioned down to Gwinnett. I remember walking into the clubhouse, and one night after he had, you know, had another poor outing, and he was literally in surrender cobra pose, just like in front of his locker. Like, he could not believe what was going on. What, and, you know, I think last year was really tough for him, because 2018 he was really, really good. He was in great form, and then he got into a car wreck in the summer, or the spring training 2019. I think he only made like one spring training appearance before the season, jammed his shoulder, I want to say, and I don't think he was ever quite healthy last year. So I think that if AJ Minter does get right, he probably has like the highest potential production out of that group that you mentioned, but I don't think he had a great spring, and I don't really foresee that, unfortunately, for him. So I would go with Webb as well.
I don't know if he's major league ready right now, but I really like what I saw from Patrick Weigel.
I do love Weigel for sure. I'm right there with you.
And he has the numbers to back it up from last year. His ERA at the double A level was under 2, and then they got promoted to Gwinnett. He was 6-1, had a WHIP of 1.15, and his ERA was sub 3. So in that case, you know, I feel like he's done enough to earn a look if that is needed. He's not ahead of anybody that I would think is going to be given a chance to start right away. And again, for some reason, we keep getting force-fed Bryce Wilson. I think a lot of it has to do with his major league reps. But
probably,
if anything, if there's a guy who I think I want to see more of because I have an optimistic view on his upside, I think it's Patrick Weigel. That's just me, though.
Yeah, I think Weigel, I'm really glad you bring him up, because he's like the perfect guy that I was kind of mentioning earlier in terms of some of these younger guys who are going to have a potential this season to kind of pitch themselves into contention to play on this team. And I think that maybe it might not be the case in a normal year. You would see Patrick Weigel get regular reps in AAA, that kind of thing. But I think that what we're seeing this year is that Brian Snicker's made no bones about it, that if you are showing that you can perform and help the major league team contribute, then that's where you're going to be, regardless of kind of what your background is. You know, with someone like Weigel, you're not going to be as worried about, you know, the years you have of team control, I think. So I wouldn't be surprised if Patrick Weigel is that guy. I think, you know, I would put him in the same group as the Tucker Davidsons, the Bryce Wilsons, even the Ian Andersons. Like, these guys are all going to have a chance to get themselves into the majors this year, and I wouldn't be surprised if Weigel's one of the guys.
Can I be completely honest with you guys? Completely transparent in the fact that if you asked me to describe what Patrick Weigel looked like right now, I could not do it. That guy, that is a name I have seen on paper affiliated with the Braves for a very long time. I know he has pitched. I know he's done it.
It's kind of got a squish face.
But I couldn't, like, I can't. I maybe every time he's pitched, I've gone to the bathroom or done something else, but I can't associate that guy being on the mound right now. I'm sorry, I can't do it.
I only know what his avatar.
Doesn't have any major league reps yet.
Yeah. I only know what his avatar looks like in MLB The Show.
He's got a real he's got a real Abe Gordon face. He's got like kind of a squish face, very puffy, rosy cheeks.
Okay.
Wow.
That's okay.
Right? Yeah, shots fired.
What? I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's bad. You asked me to describe what Patrick Weigel looks like, and he's got an Abe-esque face. Guy who's the executive producer of the morning show with John and Hugh on 92.9 The Game.
I want to elaborate on one more Braves topic that we touched on earlier in the show, but I want to bring it back around to it.
Please don't tell me it's Luke Jackson.
No. As much as I want it to be, no. No, it's back about Puig, and Caleb had mentioned it earlier, saying that it seems like some of the reports out there about the Braves and Puig are, to me, they're a little misguided, or they're like misleading people into what the situation actually is. I could totally see Puig being back with the Braves. Like I could still see him being a Braves player this year.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah, the headlines I've seen is, like, seems kind of attention-grabby, like Braves, Puig, off. And, yeah, it is right now, but I don't see how things are going to change drastically in the next 2 weeks. I guess the only kind of reason I could see for him the Braves to not be interested anymore is either if they get off to a really great start or get off to a terrible start, or, like, you know, somehow they're
you don't want to take the chance,
completely out of contention, or they don't need them by the time, yeah, like they don't want to disrupt anything, whether it's the clubhouse, the lineup, or whatever. If they're doing really well, that's the only reason I could see them not being interested. But
yeah, that was the thing I kind of felt weird too. Like, he tests positive for Rona, and that's it. It's over.
No, because here was the thing is. The idea was he failed his physical. And so as it goes, whether it's, you know, NFL, NBA, or Major League Baseball, if you fail your physical, the team isn't going to sign you at that point. But it's not like he had some heart issue or hamstring or a knee or an elbow or anything like that. It's just he tested positive for coronavirus, which we assume he's going to be, you know, past,
because he's asymptomatic.
Yeah, he's asymptomatic, so he's gonna move past it in a couple of weeks, and like we kind of been talking about, I think he'll be back with the team instead of being like some people are calling him the Carmelo Anthony with the Hawks kind of
deal
with the Braves, and it's like, no. That's not it.
It was a funny thing to put out there on Twitter. I'll be honest about that. But yeah, it's not the same situation. And the other thing about him being asymptomatic and how it relates to like the timetable, because I've gotten lots of questions about that as well, is what is the timetable for somebody like Puig? And obviously, we don't know that, right? It's just like as soon as his body can produce two negative tests, that's when it will be. But that varies for everybody. I will say the one interesting thing, if he is still asymptomatic, is that if you're asymptomatic, you don't know how long you've had it. And I assume that he's not being tested regularly like normal, you know, players that are already in Major League Baseball systems with teams would be. So maybe he's already had it for a while and he's like about to get over it. Like, we just don't know. It could be a lot of people are using the 2-week time frame because that seems to be around when a large cluster of people seem to be able to produce these negative tests. But it could be in 2 days. Like we just don't know. So there's still so much to be determined.
So we have the Marlins in here on Tuesday night and Wednesday afternoon. We actually get an opportunity to see them in a exhibition game setting. What are you looking for in these two games, guys, before we send this team up to New York to face the Mets?
Just get through healthy.
Yeah, sir. Yeah.
Just look, let's, you know, I think at that point, whereas I take very little away from the intra-squad scrimmages because guys have come to the podium time after time and be like, I was working on X, Y, and Z. And so that wasn't a standard outing. You know, Mike Soroka, I think, was the first one who came and was, you know, saying there were specific things that he was working on and specific things that he had been working on through the pandemic that he tried and weren't working, and it was like, yeah, I'm gonna have to shelve that for a little while and get back to, you know, what I do best, essentially. Whereas now when the Braves face the Mets, it'll be more of, you know, game day, truly, you know, what you're, as far as pitchers, what you're gonna throw, hitters, you know, getting back in that timing kind of space. But it's still like, doesn't count. So just get through healthy, and let's get on to New York.
So have we agreed that we're going to do a second one this week, gentlemen, before opening day?
I think so.
I think we'll do one Thursday before
this. Yeah, because at Friday? That point we will have seen what happens with New York. I mean, with Miami, I should say.
Roster and decision should be coming down at that point as well. So.
And, of course, you can always follow us on Twitter at Willie P Style, at JAPatrick200, and at ATLJohnson18. I know we had – I just didn't want to see the scared looks on either of your faces if that wasn't something that we had already kind of provisionally agreed to. Kind of like the voice that – or kind of like the face that Joe gave when Caleb said, hey, Luke Jackson's going to be the closer while Will Smith is out. I didn't want to see that face again. But again, be sure to follow us on Twitter. Be sure to download the Radio.com app and subscribe to the Batter Up podcast wherever you get your podcast. We will talk to you after the two exhibition games on Tuesday and Wednesday with a Thursday podcast, getting you ready for opening day in New York. For Joe Patrick, Caleb Johnson, Willie P. Will Palachik saying thank you so much for listening to the Batter Up podcast, a 92.9 The Game and Radio.com exclusive. All right.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.